Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Please join us tonight and every Tuesday from 7 to 8-ish p.m. as we celebrate Your Place Love Connection. Tonight, as always, we'll be starting off with song, scripture, and prayer. Actually, we're going to, I don't see the, yeah, Brian is here. We're going to have a prayer. And I don't know, Joan, is that you? Let's see who we have on the line tonight to get started. I think I see Joan. Who do we have on the line tonight?
This is Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, Joan.
Okay. So we're going to start off with a song, and after we have a song, then we'll have scripture. After I say the prayer, we'll have a song, we'll have a scripture, then Brian will give us the intercessory prayer, and we will turn it over to Eric to start us with the Bible study for tonight. But before we go there, we're going to open up. God, we come before you, and we just thank you for such a celebrative time to be with you. Lord, it's like Jesus, we need you. We come and we're broken and we're open and we know that you are healer. We come and we seek your face because we want to know more of you, and we know that you'll share and you'll teach us and we'll grow. We come before you as a parent, and we know that you'll sit with us and we can learn and you'll teach us to be more like you. And so we're here tonight with our hearts open, asking that you remove the heart of stone and replace with it a heart of flesh where you can write your words and your statutes upon it. We thank you as we go forward in Bible study, claiming the victory as we walk into Revelation. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're gonna be reading scripture today, and can you share that scripture, Eric?
Yeah, both to be found in Ezekiel. The first one is Ezekiel 1:1-28, and Sister Joan will be reading Ezekiel 10:1-22. So that's Ezekiel 1.
Could you repeat those one more time?
That's Ezekiel 1:1-28. And Sister Joan will read Ezekiel 10:1-22.
So Joan has 10:1-22. And in the meantime, we will be listening to a song from Vicky Yohe.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. This is Eric. As I said, scripture tonight will be Ezekiel 1:1-28 and Ezekiel 10:1-22. And as always, these scriptures give a background for the scripture that we'll be reading tonight, Revelation 4. So this is the word of the Lord. This is Ezekiel 1:1-28 and the New Living Translation. On July 31st of my 30th year, while I was with the Judean exile beside the Kibar River in Babylon, the heavens were open to me, and I saw a vision of God. This happened during the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. The Lord gave a message to me, Ezekiel, son of Buzah, the priest, there beside the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians, and I felt the hand of the Lord had taken hold of me. As I looked, I saw a great storm coming toward me from the north, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. The fire inside the cloud grew like gleaming amber. From the center of the cloud came four living beings that looked human, except they each had four faces and two pair of wings. Their legs were straight like human legs, but their feet were split like calf's feet and shone like burnished bronze. Beneath each of their wings I could see human hands. The wings of each living being touched the wings of the two beside it. The living beings were able to fly in any direction without turning around. Each had a human face in the front, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle at the back. Each had two pairs of outstretched wings, one pair stretching out to touch the wings of the living being on either side of it, and the other pair covered its body. They went in whatever direction the spirit chose. They moved straight forward in all directions without having to turn around. The living beings looked like bright coals of fire or brilliant torches. and it looked as though the lightning was flashing back and forth among them. And the living beings darted to and fro like flashes of lightning. As I looked at these beings, I saw four wheels on the ground beneath them, one wheel belonging to each. The wheels sparkled as if they were made of crystallite. All four wheels looked the same. Each wheel had a second wheel turning crosswise within it. The beings could move forward in any of four directions they faced without turning as they moved. The rims of the four wheels were awesomely tall, and they were covered with eyes all around the edges. When the four living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. When they flew up, the wheels went up too. The spirit of the living beings was in the wheel. So wherever the spirit went, the wheels and the living beings went too. When the living beings moved, the wheels moved. When the living beings stopped, the wheels stopped. When the living beings flew into the air, the wheels rose up. For the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. There was a surface spread out above them like a sky. It sparkled like crystal. Beneath this surface, the wings of each living being stretched out to touch the other wings of each, and each had two wings covering their body. As they flew, their wings roared like waves crashing against the shore, or like the voice of the Almighty, or like the shouting of a mighty army. When they stopped, they let down their wings, and they stood with their wings lowered. The voice spoke from me beyond the crystal surface above them. Above the surface over their heads was what looked like a throne made of blue sapphire. And high above this throne was the figure whose appearance was like that of a man. From his waist up, he looked like gleaming amber, flickering like a fire. And from his waist down, he looked like a burning flame, shining with splendor. All around him was a glowing halo, like a rainbow shining through the clouds. This was the way the glory of the Lord appeared to me. When I saw it, I fell face down in the dust, and I heard someone's voice speak to me. I have read from Ezekiel 1:1-28, the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord, for the mission of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Joan.
This is Joan in Maine. I'm reading Ezekiel chapter.
You need to talk a little louder, Joan.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
If you speak louder.
Okay. All right, reading Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 1 to 22 on New Revised Standard Version. And God's glory leaves Jerusalem. Then I looked, and above the dome that was over the heads of the cherubim, there appeared above them something like a sapphire, in form resembling a throne. He said to a man clothed in linen, "Go within the wheelwork underneath the cherubim, fill your hands with burning coals from among the cherubim, and scatter them over the city." He went in as I looked on. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the house when the man went in, and a cloud filled in the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord rose up from the cherub to the threshold of the house. The house was filled with a cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the glory of the Lord. The sound of the wing of the cherubim was heard as far as the outer court, like the voice of God Almighty when he speaks. When he commanded the man clothed in linen, "Take fire from within the wheelwork from among the cherubim," he went in and stood beside a wheel. And a cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim, took some of it and put it into the hands of the man clothed in linen, who took it and went out. The cherubim appeared to have the form of a human hand under their wings. I looked, and there were four wheels beside the cherubim, one side each cherub, and the appearance of the wheel was like gleaming beryl. And as of their appearance, the four looked alike, something like a wheel within a wheel. When they moved in any of the four directions without veering as they moved. every direction in front wheel faced. The others followed without veering as they moved. Their entire body, their rims, their spokes, their wings, and the wheels of the four of them, were full of eyes all around. As for the wheels, they were called in my hearing the wheel work. Each one had four faces. The first face was that of cherub. The second face was that of a human being. The third that of a lion. And the fourth that of an eagle. The cherubim rose up. These were the living creatures that I saw by the river of Shabbat. When the cherubim moved, the wheels moved beside them. And when the cherubim lifted up their wings to rise up from the earth, they stopped. The others stopped. And when they rose up, the others rose up with them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in them. Then the glory of the Lord went out from the threshold of the house and stopped above the cherubim. The cherubim lifted up their wings and rose up from the earth in my sight as they went out with the wheels beside them. They stopped at the entrance of the east gate of the house of the Lord. And the glory of the God of Israel was above them. These were the living creatures that I saw underneath the God of Israel by the river Chebar. And I knew that they were cherubim. Each had four faces, each four wings, and underneath their wings something like human hands. As for that, their faces were like they were the same faces whose appearance I had seen by the river Chebar. Each one moved straight ahead. The word of the Lord.
Brother Amen. Brian, are you on the line tonight? Brother Brian,
I am.
Are you on the line tonight? Would you?
Brian is on the line.
We'd like to move into intercessory prayer.
Yes.
So,
who has
a request? Go ahead.
Is there someone who has a request for prayer tonight?
Yeah, this is Eric. I've got my mother in her health, specifically her back. We're talking to doctors about. I have an uncle who was dealing with early signs of dementia, Uncle WB, and Uncle Wendell, who has been placed in a rehabilitation facility. He's confined to a wheelchair. And so I'd like to lift those three individuals up tonight.
Dr. Susie, I'd like to lift up Mark Bryant, Shawnette Brown, Lester Carver, James Beavers and Sydney Beavers, and myself.
This is Joni Main. I'd like to lift up my children, Heather, Angela, and Monica, and the grandchildren, as well as three other children as well, and grandchildren. I could not name them all, but that was the good side. And as well for Butch and some families that are going through in California. As well for me. Thank you.
Does anyone else have prayer requests tonight?
Is Brett on the line tonight?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I was going to ask about your family.
Oh, everybody's doing fine.
Okay.
That's awesome news, Brett. That's awesome news.
I agree.
Yes, it is.
Does
anyone
somebody,
have if you could turn your
other prayers?
Go ahead.
Does anyone else have a prayer request this evening? This is Brian. I have a prayer request for myself. I ask that as busyness continues to make its way into my life and even fear starts to encroach, which causes, in my case, action. But whenever I feel fear or anxiety, I launch into action and work hard to get things ready. I'm just asking for a spirit of peace and that the Lord guide me through whatever's coming and that I make the right decisions on the way through. So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord God, you are almighty. We can't even begin to perceive or conceive much about you, really. But Lord, we all agree, and we all do know one thing as we approach you as the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters who study together, who work to get to know you better, and to strive to be more like you. We approach you as a group, as well as individuals. And Lord, we know one thing for sure. We can place our faith in you. Because our faith is placed well. We see people place their faith in money. We see people place their faith in other people, in themselves, and in every possible way they can place their faith in earthly things. But we know, Lord, that's all for nothing. You're almighty and you're infinite. And therefore, we know that our faith in you is well placed. Lord, we just ask that through that faith, you consider our petitions to help people who we love and ourselves with problems with our health of our bodies. Lord, we were made, our bodies were made to fail. And we accept that as just part of the reality of what your creation is as it relates to us and our physical bodies. We thank you for creating us and imbuing us with souls which last forever. And we know that like all earthly things, our bodies will fail and will pass away. We just ask that during that time, you comfort us, you minimize our pain, you heal us when it's the right time for healing. And we know that you can intercede in any of these situations and improve our circumstance. Lord, we ask that though there will be pain and there will be physical suffering, we ask that you minimize it and that in that pain we always remember you. We always remember what you did for us on the cross. And we always look to your example of what's in the future for us rather than focus on our malady or our anxiety or our fear. Lord, especially those children and grandchildren who we all have, we ask that they be blessed, that they come close to you, and that they look at our suffering as we get older and their maladies and suffering, even at their young age, as just part of evidence that we live in a corrupted and earthly world which will go away, and that they too learn to look for the future in a big way, in an infinite way, which can only come through faith in you. Lord, we ask all these things through and in the name of your holy heavenly Son, our only hope, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's at this time, We are about ready to get a roll call, and I'll ask Eric if he would do the roll call and then say a prayer before we get started again, and I will join you shortly.
Okay, Dr. Susan, if you can find out who's on the line tonight, I know there's Brian from Maine, there's Joan from Maine, there's Brett from Indianapolis, Dr.
Right.
Susie in Maine, and Eric currently in Ohio, but a little bit of everywhere. Who else is with us this evening? that would like to speak?
Brother Carter from Dayton, Ohio.
Brother Carter, glad to have you with us. We know that you're normally working, so
Amen.
We appreciate you joining us. God bless you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, feel free to join in at any time if you'd like. Just unmute yourself and speak, and we look forward to dialoguing with you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we come before you as we look to open and study your word. We ask that we would rightly divide it, Father, that it may give clarity and understanding to those that will listen, and that it will penetrate
yes,
our hearts, that we may go forth to serve you in righteousness and truth. So many times we don't have the right frame of mind when we read the Bible, because we're reading it because we have found ourselves in a situation, or we're going through some turbulence or some trials and tribulations, and we're looking for an answer to make sure that you are there. But the truth of the matter is, Lord, is that we need to read it to get a glimpse of your glory, for really that's what we're here for, is to praise, worship, honor, and glorify you. And all the stuff that if we seek, he said to us, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, that you would add all those other things. You already know what we're asking for before we even ask,
yes,
because you are God. You're the first and the
yes,
last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. You created us.
Yes, Lord.
And if you created us, you know what we need. And if you know what we need, that means you've planned our way. And if you've planned our way, you are righteous to make sure that it is according to your will. So help us to be mindful of that, Father, because we know that in tonight's lesson, that's what it's all about. It's all about worshiping you as we read Revelation 4. So help us to rightly divide that word to bring honor and glory to your holy name. For it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We apologize for last week. We had some technical difficulties with the site. In the management of the site, that they lost all the information that Dr. Susie had put in, and so it didn't allow us to conduct a Bible study last week. So we do apologize for that, but be sure that the devil is a lie. God's word still will go forth, and
yes,
so we will be moving forward right tonight with that, and we're going to look at Revelation 4. But before we go there, I want to give a little bit of a background of where we started and where we're at now. We started in Revelation 1 with John, the beloved John, the apostle, receiving revelation from Jesus Christ that God had revealed to Jesus, that John told an angel to go get John prepared to receive this and write this down. And John sees God's glory, and then he's told to get ready to write these seven letters to these seven churches. And these seven churches are seven churches in Asia Minor that were approximately, if you could plot them out, no one was more than, 50 miles from another one, but it was really like 50 miles east and west and 90 miles north and south. They really fitted into a little triangle box there, if you will. And so the Lord is wanting to tell these churches about what is going on with them and what they need to do to be saved, to escape the end judgment that we're all going to have to face. But there is a way to not have to face that. And so Jesus does that. And the first church is the church at Ephesus. And he tells them to go back and do their first love. The one thing that they had gotten away from is they had, done all these great things, but they had gotten away from their first love. And all of our first love should be to love the Lord thy God with all the heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, with everything that you have. And he told them to get back to that. And if they should do that, they would be victorious, and they would be able to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Then he talks to the church at Smyrna. And the church at Smyrna is a small church who has done good things. They are being ridiculed and mistreated. And he tells them to endure. Don't give in to the devil, who they know is persecuting them. and that if they should be victorious and overcome, that they will not be hurt by the second death. And then he goes to the church at Pergama, and he says here that where the great throne of Satan is located, they have given in to idolatry and pagan practices, and they are just awful in committing sexual sin. And he tells them that who will overcome and be victorious will eat of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven.
Yes.
And then he goes to the church of Thyatira, who there again is the seat of Satan, and he even calls him Jezebel. That Jezebel is leading the people astray into idolatry worship and eating food offered to idols and committing sexual sins. And he tells them that that if they will overcome and be victorious, then they will rule with him the nations with an iron rod, and they'll have the same authority that he had. And then he goes to the church at Sardis, and they are a small church. They have been mistreated, but they have remained faithful. He tells them to remain faithful and wait, and don't give in, and wait till he comes, and that they will wear, that they should listen to the Spirit and understand the Spirit, and that their names will be written in the book of life. And then he goes to the church at Philadelphia, and he says, I know, you know, what you've been doing. I know the forces belong to Satan, and they're lying, and they're, you know, mistreating you. He says, but I'm quickly coming. And if you shall endure, then you will be pillars in the temple of my God. And then he goes to the church at Laodicea, which is neither hot nor cold, and it's so uncommitted that he's going to spew it out of his mouth. They're miserable, they're poor, they're blind, they're naked. And he tells them that they need to buy gold from him. They need to buy his ointment for his eyes, and he will also provide them white garments to cover their nakedness. And that if they should become victorious and overcome, that they will sit on the throne with him, and just as he sits on the throne with his Father. And so he closes this last one church by saying, you know, listen, I'm at the door, I'm knocking, be diligent, let me in. And so now John's attention has turned. He's completed the first part of Revelation, basically 2 through 3, in assignment of writing these letters to the churches, telling them what they're doing, what they need to do, and what happens if they overcome to be reigning with Christ. But tonight starts the journey of what really Revelation is about, and that is the glory of God. And so what I'd like to do is that I'm going to first read 1 through 11, Revelation 4, 1 through 11, in the New Living Translation, and then we're going to start our dialogue, and we will break it down into sections of verses. But I first want us to hear it completely. New Living Translation. Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I had heard before spoke to me with the sound of a mighty trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after these things. And instantly I was in the Spirit. And I saw the throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstone, jasper, and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. And from the thrones came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven lampstands with burning flames. They are the seven spirits of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The first of these living beings had the form of a lion. The second looked like an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth had the form of an eagle, with wings spread out as though in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings covered with eyes, inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." Whenever the living beings gave glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the one who lives forever and ever. And they laid their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." That was Revelation 4, verses 1 through 11.
Amen.
Amen.
So, this transformation, what's going on? What is through this transformation? What is going on? We're transforming from dictating these letters to what?
Heaven.
To heaven.
To heaven. After, I guess he was in spirit and in heaven, there's a door open.
He's summing up. He's summing up. Come up here. The one B. So come up here, and I will show you what must happen after these things.
Amen.
And then 2A, it says, "And instantly he was in the spirit."
Yes.
"And I saw the throne in heaven and someone sitting on it." So now, John, remember when he got the glimpse of Jesus Christ in his full glory?
Yeah.
Yes.
What happened to him? It said he what? Anybody remember?
A verse.
All his strength left. He was.
Omega. I think that was when he was in Omega. He was.
Very disparate.
So
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think you stated earlier when you were reading that he fell down.
Yeah, he became weak. And remember, the Lord had to touch him and say, "It's okay. It's me." So think about the times in the Old Testament, for those that study that, when people had encounter with the Spirit of God, or God, whichever one they thought it was, or the Son of Man, however they look at that, because we're going to discuss that. What was their condition likely to be?
They become weak.
Right. They become weak. They begin to realize that this awesome power and presence, that they are not, we're not worthy to be in that presence. Because we know that it is so much more than what we are, so much more strength.
Amen.
And authority and power and glory.
Imagine,
and so traditionally we become weak, we become limp, we become as dead men or not being able to function in our normal selves.
Amen.
Because that's a lot of power in front of us.
The purity of God, this is showing me.
But so this is my for real question is that, why is that so if God created us and breathed the breath of life into us? It would seem to me if that power is in us, and when it appears to us, that we should actually connect and draw more energy from it. But
yeah.
Just the opposite happens. Why is that?
Amen. Eric, this is Brett.
Yes, sir.
I think the reason why we as humans react the way that we do is because we are afraid of the unknown. And a lot of times you can get so frightened that you can't move. You start to shake. Your legs will not support you anymore. Whatever you're carrying, whatever you have in your hands, you're not going to be able to hold it. And when you realize something with that much power, then a lot of times we assume automatically that it is God. And the thing is, we have to be able to recognize that. And like you said, we are made in God's image. And we should be able to believe. And if we believe, then we should not be frightened of that. But that is also a way of showing our humbleness. And we automatically go to our knees because we value the person that we're looking at. And when it comes to God, I would be flat on my face until he tells me to move.
Amen.
Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty.
And Brett, I'm glad you brought that up because I surmise that the reason that we react in the way that we do is because we know that we are not worthy to be in that presence because of the fall.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Because when God made Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, we're going to make man in our image to be like us. But when the fall happened, we wasn't like God anymore. We couldn't be like God anymore. Satan told us we would be, but of course we couldn't be.
Amen.
And so we react in that way because of all the things you said, as well as we know that we are not worthy to be in that presence on our own merit.
Right.
But we have an advocate for us.
Yes, we do.
And that's what's going on. The advocate now is saying to John, okay, we're going to show you the things that's going to come after you wrote the letter. But now John has to get to the place where he can get there to see that. Because, you know, later you remember that John was told, well, some of these things you can't write. I'm going to show you, but you can't write them in later chapters of Revelation. But here he's able to try to explain heaven, to try to give us a glimpse of heaven, to try to give us a glimpse of God's glory and might and majesty and might. And do you think that's possible?
I'm imagining
yes.
it already. I want to be like him.
you want to be like that? You're imagining it already?
So imagine it.
Let me ask you a question then. What does your imagination say to you right now?
The things, that's why we have to get rid of our way of thinking as human. We got to think that the way he's teaching us, the unfathomable. I mean, just imagine that. Just imagine how, have you ever seen heads like that and angels, cherubims like that and floating and... the colors of the jewels are there. I'm like, oh, you know how women's are at the same time. And I love the water. And putting it all together, it's just amazing how now that we're looking at it, I'm reading it, it's more and talking about it. It's coming out as you guys said, everything was symbolic on the revelation, and I'm looking for it. What is the mystery of all this? It's a mystery that he's not worth not seeing. And I'm wanted so bad to get more deeper to it, and I'm learning so much what it means about the thunders, the lightnings, the jewels, and the crowns, what they mean. They're all authorities, and they are pure and all white. And so we melt. Our body cannot take it. You have to be sanctified in order to be brought. You up there, so lucky John. Oh, blessed John, not lucky. So,
amen.
It's just amazing. I'm already feeling what John, Apostle John, is feeling because, gosh, I'm already ready to be able to do so. What he is going through, that in order for us to be on that, in fact, he is so ready for us to gain that because he's waiting for us only to say, look, you guys, you cannot do anything
Amen.
Without me. So,
Amen.
And
Amen.
In order to
Amen.
Do that,
Amen.
Be pure.
Amen. Amen.
So
Eric.
Amen,
John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is prayer.
Amen.
I think one thing we need to be aware of that you had covered Ezekiel at the beginning before we started
right.
this. And things that happen in the Old Testament are brought forward into the New Testament. So here we are in the book of Revelations, again, having the same identical description
yes.
of what Ezekiel saw and what we're seeing here. And the other thing, too, is that this is something that God wanted us to know about because it says at the beginning, and it says, after this, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard addressing me, like a war trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future. That can only be done because God wants this particular person to see this. And when he writes about it, then we will know. And that's where we are today.
Well, right, because thank you, Brother Brett, because remember that he has been told to write this revelation
right.
for
Amen.
Those who are being persecuted and mistreated, to give them hope and to let them know
yes.
that God wins. I mean, that's why he
Amen.
Has been chosen to write this book. And so, of course, God wants him to see all that he can see, but I want somebody to tell me, does John really see God? Does he really say he sees God or describes God in the passages from 2 through 6?
The 6.
Yeah, somebody read 4, 2 through 6.
This is Brett, I got it.
Go ahead.
24 other thrones surrounded the throne and seated on
no,
these
no,
thrones.
Brett, I'm sorry, Brett, start with verse
yes.
2, please.
Okay. At once I came under the Spirit's power, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there appeared like jasper and sardis, and encircling the throne there was a halo that looked like emerald. 24 other thrones surrounded the throne, and seated on these thrones were 24 elders arrayed in white clothing with crowns of gold upon their head. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and pearls of thunder, and in front of the throne, 7 blazing torches burned, which are the 7 spirits of God. And in front of the throne, there was also what looked like a transparent, glassy sea, as if of crystal. And around the throne, in the center, at each side of the throne, were 4 living creatures, who were full of eyes in front and behind.
All right, thank
That's
you.
It.
So is God seen or unseen there?
Seen. I do believe it's seen.
What makes you say that, sister?
Because, there was a scripture that I read that you cannot see I'm not so sure, but I will try to text it to Chaplain Sue later if I'll find it. There's a scripture, it shows that the face you cannot see. So it reminded me of the sun. So when you cannot see that, as you could say over here, it shows over here that on the throne, seated on the throne, looked like a jasper and carnelian. That's a body.
Right.
You cannot see the whole face, but the body, the throne is there, body. But are they, my question there then is, are they, is there Jesus and God together in one? But then again, it says that on the right-hand side there will be Jesus.
Right.
But
so,
there's only
so
one
this
throne.
This says the one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstone, jasper, and carnelian in my translation, New Living. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow.
Yeah.
So you saying that it's seen. Who thinks it's who thinks God is unseen?
I do. This is Brent.
It's how many it. Not sure?
Eric, what it's saying here in the third verse, it says, "And he who sat there appeared like."
Like.
It doesn't say it's
correct.
God. It says, "He who sat there appeared like," which means that he had a vision enough to see that it was a man and not a woman, okay?
Right.
The other thing, it talks about the throne and the seven spirits of God.
Right.
It still doesn't talk about God himself. It says the spirits of God.
Right.
So,
and it talks about the elders, right. But
yeah,
nowhere does it say that he actually saw God.
Right. So, and I'm going to say this, and people are going to be like, well, wait a minute, that's double talk. So you could be correct if you said yes, and you could be correct if you said no. His matchless worth is described by the precious stones, his brilliance and beauty like a rainbow, his power like thunder and lightning. Even in John's vivid eyewitness description, the Father himself remained hidden from sight, veiled in unapproachable light.
Okay, because I'm thinking about the spirit.
Right, and we remember from way back when we determined, when we talked about what the seven spirits were.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody remember that?
The seven spirits are there.
Right. The spirit,
the
spirit of wisdom,
spirit,
understanding,
spirit of mind,
the spirit of counsel,
right,
strength, knowledge, and goodness, and the spirit of the reverence of God.
Right.
And so,
amen.
And so John is trying to explain with the best thing that he can something that's indescribable. But it does not say that he is describing God. He is the one who he thinks is sitting on the throne. He's trying to put into context the majestic and the brilliance of it. I mean, even God, what did God tell Moses? Well, hold up. Let me ask this question. What did God tell Moses when Moses asked to see? Anybody remember that when they were coming out of Egypt?
The burning
he said,
bush.
I'd hide you in the cliff.
And right, and I'll put my hand
so
over your face.
See him in the, so, yeah.
But you could see
so
my hinder
see
part.
My glory.
And see my
right.
glory.
Amen.
So if God is telling Moses that who was very close to God, as we recall.
Amen.
John is very close to Jesus, the God man.
His favorite.
Yes.
But God is still saying, God is still saying to humans at this point, No.
It's Dr. Susie, yeah, I have a different perspective. Also, you know, because the scripture often tells us that it has to be spiritual things which enter into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, I think that John's body was left on the Isle of Patmos, but his spirit, because it says, John was in the spirit. His spirit was taken up and able to perceive of these things. And it wasn't him physically. physically it couldn't happen for the very reason you just said. But his spirit could go up and be able to see this vision. That's Dr. Susie.
Amen.
I agree, Dr. Susie. It absolutely is his vision. It is not his physical body. It absolutely is his spirit to see these visions. But I'm asking is that in the description that he writes here, is he saying that he's seeing God and is describing God, or is he describing what he's given a description of what it looks like to him?
He's not seeing it, but he's describing the colors, the brightness.
Right.
He's saying the vision.
Dominion.
It depends on how you understand the vision. I'm gonna check the word in Greek, and then see if that gives us more clarity.
Dr. Susie, thank you.
Yeah, this is Brett.
Yes, sir.
I think that to help clarify some things, keep in mind that we know that God is a spirit. Because we were told that God is a spirit, we must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Therefore,
can't see the spirit. But the spirit can shape itself into whatever it wants to be in order to get because the thought across that God has, and I think this is one of the ways that God is communicating with John, so that as a man and the spirit that is in heaven looking at all this, he can then come back and write and give some kind of description so that unbelievers will start to believe. That's what I think
this is
all about.
This is Dr. Susie.
Amen.
This is Dr. Susie. I heard that, Brett, but I also remember at the beginning of Revelations, it was quite clear. It described his feet, his hair, his eyes.
Oh, right.
He's not invisible.
Well, wait a minute. No. Because she's right that he described that. But is that God or is that Christ?
I was talking about Christ.
Okay.
Because it described his hair, it described his eyes,
right.
It was
right.
A description of Christ.
Correct. But here in 4,
in
what
heaven.
John is describing is which?
Is the purpose
God or Christ?
Right.
Okay.
Worship
right.
of God. But we're also talking about the worship of God and the Lamb. So they're both up there, but the throne
they're all in
was
one.
Sitting on was God's throne.
Right.
Well, yes.
So this
we see. Yes. But we see the manifestations.
Did you find the Greek?
No, I was talking to y'all.
This is Brett. Dr. Susie, I'm going to take you back even further than that. Back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve said that they heard God walking in the garden. Like I said, a spirit can manifest itself in any kind of form, shape, or fashion it wants to. How are you going to hear footsteps if it's not God? It's his creation.
So, see, I told you, you could be right if you said yes, you could be right if you said no. This is Charles
Swindoll. And I agree
Swindoll.
With you.
This is Charles Swindoll. On the one hand, the Bible clearly says that God is invisible and unseen. People can see his power and his character through his works of creation. However, God, being spirit, is invisible. On the other hand, the Old Testament says that some have seen God and live contrary to their clear expectations that they would die. However, these are temporary and limited representatives of God's presence. Consider that God told Moses that he would only be allowed to see him in a limited sense, and that Jesus said not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God, he has seen the Father. John helped to solve this problem when he wrote, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. In other words, the Son of God, who is divine image of the invisible God, reveals the invisible God to us. Jesus said,
Amen.
He who has seen me has seen the Father. Interestingly,
right.
early theologians of the church often assumed that when God appeared to people in the Old Testament, it was actually the Son appearing from heaven before he became the incarnate God-man Jesus. In this way, God the Father always remained immortal, invisible, and unseen, but fully revealed to us through God the Son.
Amen.
Amen.
But John is explaining this awesome view. And so now I want to get into these symbols or these beings, and I want to have some discussion on that. And I really only want to have it to point us to why they are there and why he describes them. So if someone could read chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. 7 through 11 from chapter 4 of Revelation. I got it up, so I can go ahead and do it. Again, this is the New Living Translation. This is verse 7. The first of these living beings had the form of a lion, the second looked like an ox, and the third had a human face, and the fourth was the form of an eagle with wings spread out as though in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." Whenever the living beings gave glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the one who lives forever and ever. And they laid their crowns before the throne and said, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." So, what do you
Amen.
Think about these four living beings? What do you think they represent? Anybody? Somebody?
This is Brett. I believe those were the eyes of God.
Okay. The eyes of God. It said they had eyes all over, so they saw everything.
So
right.
What was the question? This is Chaplain. This is Dr. Susie. I didn't hear
what,
you. Aaron. What was the
what
question?
Do you think those four? What do you think those four beings represent?
Oh, the four living creatures?
I'm just talking about the four living beings. Yeah, the four
right.
the four creatures that stand on each corner of the throne.
They, you know, you got to look at the whole thing. It talks about John sees 24 elders. And of the 24 elders, these are kind of like the judges in the heavens. And then the others are elders, the four elders. And they're heavenly spirits. Belonging to a certain class of angels and living creatures. So the four living creatures
right.
are these actual supernatural beings involved with the purpose of God on heaven and earth, and on earth and his worship in heaven. But we hear that all the time. I think it was even in Isaiah or whenever we hear about the God, we always hear that you've got the eye creatures that are always worshiping, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, holy," because that seems to be their task, is to praise God.
Right.
Amen.
We don't even do it often.
We don't do it enough. You're absolutely right. And it's the eyes that show, and I think we talked about this before, Eric, when we talked about how they could see the future, the past, they could see everything, the symbolism of all the eyes and what they could see, the past, the present, the future, activity, the holiness
I know
of God, holy, holy,
I know
holy.
Chaplain Sue, I know that the eagle, the symbolism of the symbol of the eagle is the eyes. They could see through.
Oh, really?
Right. I don't know where that is, but I know that the eagle always represents the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know there was some saying that was eagle eye. Didn't they call it eagle eye? Made a big deal about eagle eye.
Eagle can fly a couple miles up and see something as small as a penny on the ground.
But
that
I don't
part,
know how that
possibly true, but I think they represent all of creation. Those four living beings represent all of creation that God has created, all of creation. And they stand there as a reminder to him of that.
The fall, the animals, the humans.
There's a whole lot of interpretations that actually see them as part of the angelic beings. Now they may represent what we're supposed to.
I'm not saying that they're not of the angelic beings, because clearly they are in God's presence. He made them as that purpose, but they are a representation of the creation of everything that God has created, and as always a
reminder.
Which
is why they say holy, holy, holy. Which is why they always say holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy
I
is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come.
But that even takes us back to the garden on the reason why we were created. Because we were created to worship God and have that relationship.
Right. And so we talked it earlier when we started that you're absolutely right, but because of the fall, we got away from that. We were Let me rewind back up.
Go ahead. Go on.
So God created man so that man would willingly not be made to, willingly want to worship him. He gave man a choice. He created man to have a choice to worship me.
Amen.
That I created you, I could make you worship me, but I want to have a relationship with someone who wants to willingly be in my presence and commune with me. Because the angels that he made were made for specific reasons, and they could not go outside of what they were made for, except one did and took some with him, and we know who that was, because of his pride. So God gave them the ability to think, but they were really made for specific purposes. But when he created man, he says, I'm going to create man. I'm going to create him in my image so he can be like us, to have dominion over everything on earth. But I want him to choose to worship me. I want him to want to worship me. I want him to be my companion because he wants to. And we were going along fine. Adam and Eve was going along fine. To the one who said that he was going to set his throne above God's throne, whispered in the ear, he didn't say you'd surely die. Oh, and if you eat that, you're going to be just like God. Well, by eating that, she wasn't going to be like God.
Amen.
There was only one God. You could be a companion of God, but you couldn't be God. And so because of that fall, Christ, Jesus, the second man, the second Adam, willingly gave his life to redeem us so that we could come back to God after all that we had been through and all that we will go through. That if we
I hate to be redundant.
Confess,
I hate to be redundant, but a lot of people ask, what is the second Adam? So if you, since you used the word, could you explain it? Just for the listeners.
The second son. Well, the second Adam was Jesus Christ. He was the second son who God gave the promise to.
Amen.
That because of the sin, blood had to be shed, and it had to be pure blood. It had to be blood that did not that had not sinned. So Christ had to be born a man in order to understand exactly what we as humans went through in the agony and the trouble and still yet not sin and shed perfect blood so that the sin would be atoned. Because of
Amen.
Adam's sin, in the Old Testament, when people had to go to the temple, they had to take a bullock, an ox, or doves and have blood shed and sprinkled against the altar and killed on the altar for a sacrifice. Every year. Christ made it so it only had to be done once.
Amen.
So we don't need to go to the temple and take a bull and have bloodshed. If we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, then we are saved. Our sin has been forgiven.
Yes.
And that is the good news. And that's what Revelation is trying to tell us. Don't get caught up in the symbols and the stuff that we're going to read and try to figure that out. It's all about being it right here, seeing heaven, understanding the glory of God, understanding the worship of God, because all of our attention should be on our fellowship with God. It's not about the streets of gold. It's not about the biggest mansion. It's not about who you're going to be reunited with. It ain't about none of that. All that's good, but it ain't about that.
All
it's
right.
about your relationship and your worshiping Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Full stop. It says that these beings, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. And whenever the living beings gave glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders who are sitting around the throne fall down and worship
Amen.
The one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne saying, you are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created
Amen.
Everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created.
And right.
Amen.
Amen.
Eric, this is Brett.
Yes, sir.
I think it's ironic that we have started out with Revelation with God giving his son Jesus the opportunity to deliver a message to John, and Jesus gave it to the angel, and the angel delivered it. Now, if you remember, in these seven churches, there was an introduction of who this letter was from. But here we are in the
Correct.
Fourth chapter, and again, we are going through more detail of who God really is. And we have now some sort of idea of what it looks like in what we call heaven. So just fortifies what he has already sent out to the seven churches.
It's
and the thing is that...
Sorry,
okay.
Dr. Susie. And you're right, Brett, because we said he's sending these letters to these churches who are being persecuted, who are being mistreated, who are on the verge of probably collapsing and going through all kind of trouble, and he's sending it to reassure them that it's going to be okay. Just hang on. Just endure. Just be victorious. And here's what's going to happen. And now he's getting ready through 4 through 22 to 5 through 22 to say, here he goes. These are the things that's coming. But don't you be concerned. If you believe and you've held on and you've accepted Jesus,
there you
you're
go.
Going to be fine. You need
Amen.
Not worry.
So
full stop.
This is really a really exciting study, but I really don't want us to rush past this. We're going to have to end it tonight, but we need to pick it back up and not just go over 11 and go on beyond 11. I mean, part of the signal is going in and out, and so I've been trying to work on in the studio to try to keep it from completely going out. I don't know why we're losing signal, but I was trying to make a point when you were saying about the. I loved what you said about Jesus being, that Adam was the first Adam and Christ was the second born from a woman that was the second Adam, the God-man. But the reality is that Adam, the first Adam was from dust. The second Adam is from heaven. And so even though we had the image of the man of dust, we will bear the image of the man from heaven in that he's the second Adam. And we have to look at Jesus being able to provide for us that opportunity for that heavenly image so that we can be with him. And that's everything that this book is trying to remind us of, is that we have the victory
Amen.
Through Christ Jesus, who is the conqueror. There is the hope. So while we're going through challenges down here on earth today and every day that we walk, we know what's coming. And that's why he was always called, I can't remember it. We just read it about who was, who is, and who's coming. He's coming.
Right.
He's coming back again. We can have hope. We are victorious in who he is. And so as a result of that, we're looking at these vision, and I did go to the text to look for the word vision, but the vision wasn't in the New Living Version. So I'm going to go and look through the different versions to see if we find the word vision. But what we do see is it says it was an opening into heaven. And so when we saw that it was an opening into heaven and he invited him up, he invited his spirit to come up and see, this was for us to remember that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we have to always remember that there are two different realms. There's a spiritual realm and there's a physical realm. And so what we see in the earthly realm is just a shadow of things
right.
to come. And so we have to be
Amen.
Consciously aware of what God is sharing us in this text to remind us
Amen.
Of what is to come and be excited and have courage.
Amen.
We got to have courage.
Dr. Susie, with that, I just want to say that I would like everybody to read Revelation 5, 1 through, I think it's 14, because we've explored heaven. We know what that's about. So we're going to look into the victorious part of Jesus Christ overcoming and what that looks like going forward. So with that, Dr. Susie, we've got to have courage to be victorious. If you could provide an invitation for those who would also like to join in that battle, that would be great.
Amen.
We just thank you all for joining us tonight and to remind us that, you know, God is truly good. For those of us who are with us tonight, we ask that if you've heard anything that beckons you or calls your spirit to ask the question about what must I do to be saved when I hear about all this stuff is to come, when I realize that I don't have a relationship with Jesus, what am I going to do? So this is an opportunity, as we've been saying throughout the Bible study. When you see opportunities, you utilize those. You receive that opportunity, and you say, Lord, and I want you to say this with me, Lord, I hear you knocking on my door of my heart. And that's what we hear. And so I'm asking you right now, because I want to confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that Jesus died and rose again, and that I too, when I die, can be with him. I accept him as my Lord and Savior, and as such, I want to be saved. And so I receive, accept, and believe right now in the name of Jesus. And as you do so, the Holy Spirit will come and reside within you, and you have eternal life. And we invite you to get involved in a Bible-believing church where you can go and learn and fellowship with others, and then continue to join us here at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study and empower us to continue to share the Word of God.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
You have been listening to Blog Talk Radio. Our Bible study meets every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just let your fingers walk on your phone and dial 646-478-4932. Dr. Susie is the show's host and moderator. Eric is our facilitator. Also, I want to invite you every Sunday at 12:30 for church by calling in to 701-815. Entry code is 229-919-054. May God be with you until we meet again. Good night.
Good night.
Amen. And we want to thank Brother Eric for teaching us tonight. In Jesus' name, I'm the facilitator. Eric is the
This is a group effort.
Praise God.
This is a group effort.
Amen.
love
Amen,
to you all.
Amen, brothers and sisters.
Oh,
all
good
right.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.
Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Oh.